Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to The Whole Woman, hosted by Lisa Shaw. The Whole Woman, a place for women of all ages to love, laugh, and live out loud for Christ. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk with the host or call in via our toll-free call-in number, 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at ChristianWomenAffiliate.com. Here's your host.
Hey, ladies. Good morning and welcome to the Whole Woman radio program with Lisa Shaw. And I'm your host. And my name is Lisa Shaw. And I'm always excited to have the privilege and opportunity to serve you through this radio program. And I'm especially excited because today kicks off our 9-week Bible study based on my book, You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes. So I first just want to give a shout out to all my online sisters. Hey, ladies, so excited. All of you who signed up to actually do the study, who've already received your PDF files, and then to all of you who may not be engaging the study but certainly are listening in, I pray that all of you would be tremendously blessed. I believe that God is already with us and that He is going to speak to our hearts tenderly. He's going to comfort us and He's going to challenge us. He's going to grow us up more in His presence, and I'm excited about it, and I hope you're excited about it. So let me just say a few things, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump right in because we got a whole lot to cover in an hour's time. The first thing I want to say is if you missed last week's radio program, that covers the entire introduction to what we're doing. Okay, I won't be able to go through all of that today at all. So please go to my website when this program is over in your time, you know, when you're able to do it, LisaShawCares.com. That's LisaShawCares, CARES.com. There is a link to the Whole Woman Radio Program and a sublink under that link titled Summer Bible Study 2012. On there is all the information and a video and the actual recording from last week's radio program that will give you all of the introduction. So please make sure that you tune into that if you're just doing this for the first time today. Now, for those of you who are online, make sure you open up your browser, your You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes Facebook page, where Kella is joining in with us, and she's going to be sharing whatever God puts on her heart, and I'm hoping that you ladies will engage with her there and be blessed there on the page. The other thing I want to say to you is take notes. You know, we can't remember everything, so take notes, ladies. Whatever it is that God speaks to your heart, write it down. Now, I've been asked several times if you'll be able to come back to this, if it'll be archived. Absolutely yes. All of the programs I do are archived. So if I say something and you miss it, you miss writing it down, you miss taking it in, you can always go back later and replay the radio program or get in touch with me through my website and ask your questions, and I'd be happy to respond to you there. Okay? So now we're going to pray and jump right in. Excuse me. Abba, Father, we thank you and bless you for another day and for the opportunity and privilege to belong to you, to love you, to serve you, to honor you, to be loved by you. We thank you for that. And God, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit's presence would just speak down deep inside of all of the ladies that are listening in and the gentlemen, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just do a great work in us. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us and feed us and lead us and prune us and impart to us, Lord. I pray that you would comfort us and challenge us and change us, that we would really look more like your Son each and every day. I pray, Father, as I have been praying for these precious women, your daughters, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would begin to really see themselves through your eyes, Lord, and that all of the things that normally conflicts and challenges us and our ability to really see ourselves through your eyes, we come against those things right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would have spiritual ears to hear you, that we would have spiritual eyes when we're reading your word to really take in your word, Lord God, and not just read it as a good story, but read it as truth and take it in. And then through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to engage your word and study it out and then walk in it, live it, apply it with the help of your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to pour into your children, your people today, Lord. I ask you, God, to cause me to be effective in what I say to them, Lord. I pray, Lord, they wouldn't hear me, but that they would hear you speaking to them as you speak to me. I thank you for that, Father. We thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake, Lord, that we even are able to come together as we do. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we are going to jump right in, ladies. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 1, and then put your finger on it. And then you're going to open your Bible to Revelation 12, verse 11. And then you're going to put your finger on that, and then you're going to open to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Now, if you didn't get all of that, don't worry. We're going to repeat it, and then we're going to jump right in. I'm not able, for those of you who are doing the PDF files, clearly I can't go through the study notes online with you. So I'm just going to minister the message to you, and then in your time, you're going to get with God and do the actual lesson. You'll need your Bible, you need your pad and pen, the PDF files, and the book, and whatever other reference materials that you use when you're studying the Word, okay? Your concordance, Bible dictionary, whatever it is you need. First, I want to read to you Revelation 12, verse 11. Familiar passage of Scripture, but we got to be careful because sometimes the Word of God, we get really familiar with certain Scriptures and we start skimming through it or saying it at a rapid speed because we already know it. But we got to learn to slow ourselves down, ladies, and really take it in, okay? So you use whatever the version of the word is that's comfortable for you. I will be using a blend today, the Amplified, the NIV, the King James Version. So you use what is comfortable for you. Revelation 12 and 11 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And the reason why I wanted to open with that scripture is because this is the whole reason why I wrote You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes and why the Lord has allowed me to minister for the last 15 years. And that is because we don't overcome in and of ourselves. We don't overcome with self-help books and programs and things of that nature. We might be able to, you know, people might be able to get some things from those materials that may help, but I'm a word girl. I got to go to the Word of God because I know that before that, anything else did not help me. So the point is that we only overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. We overcome through him, and we overcome by the word of our testimony. What's our testimony? It's all of what we've walked through. It's all of what God has brought us through, and it's even some of what we may be dealing with right now. And so when you're thinking about the fact that you are beautiful in God's eyes, and some of you already believe it, but some of you struggle, and if we're honest, we all have times of struggling with really seeing ourselves through God's eyes. But I want you to remember that the way that you overcome the thoughts that attack you is by remembering who you are in Christ, and we'll be talking about that through this series as well, and the fact that the way that we triumph over the enemy, it's through the blood of Jesus and through the word of our testimony. Very important for us to remember that. That's why share your story. Share what God has brought you through. Share it as led by the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't want to get online and tell all your business, but share whatever God gives you to share as he leads you to share it, because your story can be used by God to help another woman get free from something that she is struggling in. That's why I believe so passionately in writing this book, because so many women suffer silently. I know I used to. So many of us suffer silently. We might be in church. We might serve in church. We may love God and read the Bible and pray and all of that and still suffer in silence. while we're sitting in the pews and in the chairs at church and while we're serving, we're still wounded inside. And I talked a lot about that on the program last week, so you'll want to get that. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." If you'll need to read that whole chapter in context to understand what was going on there, because God was having Samuel to select the next king, and we know that King Saul blew it. So God sent Samuel to search out for the next king, which ultimately was going to be David. But when Samuel visited the house of Jesse and checked out all the brothers to see who it would be that God would ordain as the next king, here's little old David out there, loving on the cattle and singing and playing his harp and singing in the presence of God. He would not, to man's standards, he would not appear to be somebody that God would use as king. That's why we got to be careful about how we look at each other, because you just don't know who God's going to use and how God is going to use that person to bless your life. And sometimes people get caught up looking at who's popular and who's well-known and who's this and who's that. But you know what? God will use a neighbor. He'll use a friend. He'll use a stranger. He'll use somebody to bless you, to speak life into you, to encourage you, to help you. So remember that. Remember that. And God is using you. And when God looks at you, and when he looks at me, he's not seeing our outer. We get so caught up in that because in the society that we live in, outer is 100% important in the society that we live in. And we'll be getting into that, especially in chapter 2. But God looks at our heart. God looks to see who's available. He looks to see who can I use, as Isaiah said to the Lord, "Here I am, send me." God is looking at us, and he's saying, "You're my daughters. I love you. I've purposed you. I've ordained you for something special." It could be raising your family, loving on your family, being somebody who serves in the community, having your own business, your own ministry, overseeing whatever areas that he gives you to oversee. Whatever it is, it could be writing a book. It could be smiling and being an encourager, somebody who motivates and inspires other people. It could be a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. It could be anything. Whatever it is that God called you to do, he's equipped you to do it. And when he looks at you, you're beautiful in his eyes. I love to say that you are bright and brilliant and beautiful in God's eyes. Now, I want you to pause and say that. Say, "I am bright, and I am brilliant, and I am beautiful in God's eyes." And then you got to dare to believe it, because the world is going to tell you opposite. The world is going to tell you that you're not so bright if you don't have several degrees hanging on your wall, or that you're not so brilliant unless you have a high IQ, or that you're not beautiful unless you're a specific size, a specific shape, have a specific hairstyle, look a specific way. But thanks be to God that when he looks at you and when he looks at me, he says, "In my eyes, you're beautiful." Now, what does God say about you based on chapter 1 of the book? We got to know and believe what the word says in order to really know how God sees us. And that's why I had you look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, because we got to know that God loves us and that when he looks at us, he is seeing more than the outer core of us. He sees us as beautiful in his eyes. But the question is, ladies, do you see yourself as beautiful? Do you believe it? Do you believe him? 1 John 3 and 1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." I love that scripture. It's the scripture that God used to really penetrate my heart in my upper 20s, and I'm close to 50 now. But in my upper 20s, when I was really battling with walking more intimately with God, because I knew him as my God, having given my life to him at 12, but I didn't know him as my father because of the childhood I had and the struggles that I had. And one of these, this is one of the scriptures that the Lord used to penetrate me, is how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, ladies. We are children of the living God. He is not just our God. He is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And some of us may not have been loved by fathers. Some of us may have been mistreated by a father figure role. But I want you to know that in God we can be safe. He's a safe place to land, and he is our Father. And I want you in your private time to meditate on that scripture. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the overall promise in those two scriptures, in 1 John 3:1 and John 3:16? The overall promise is God loves us unconditionally, unconditionally. Yet we often believe the lies of the enemy. We often believe the enemy who tells us that we're not loved, that we need to perform, that we need to jump through hoops, that we need to be better than the next person, that we need to look a certain way, speak a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way, sound a certain way, know a certain know certain people, be affiliated with certain people. The enemy and the world pours that into our brain. But God says, I love you, and I love you unconditionally. No strings attached. You don't have to perform for me. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to try to be perfect. Only my son Jesus is perfect, is what God is saying to us. He's saying, I love you so much, I sent my only son to die on that cross for your sins, to reconcile you back to me. So how in the world, ladies, do we believe the lies of the enemy and of the world when our Father God has presented to us his unconditional love? Yet we often struggle with the lies. Even the most mature spiritual person who says, oh, you know, I don't get caught in this and I don't get caught in that, and I'm never afraid and I never doubt and I never am in fear and I never sin, and I be wary of that individual. Because even though we're all on different spiritual levels in God right now, we're all on different maturity levels. It depends on so many things. But we all struggle in different ways. The most mature spiritual person still struggles, if he or she is honest. We all struggle. We all have times where we're believing the lies of the enemy. Maybe not where we're consciously saying, oh, I believe that lie, but we'll see it in how we live out our lives and the things that we say and the things that we say about ourselves and the ways that we view ourselves. You know, I often share with people how, you know, I'd get in the mirror and no matter how much weight I'd lose, I'd hold my arms up and say, oh, good Lord, my arms are just jiggling all over the place. And I would say, God, I'm just never going to lose the weight off of these arms. Oh, you know, that my arms are always going to be big. But the truth of the matter is, and I do have large arms, but you know what? I had to learn to love Lisa's arms. I had to learn to say that, you know what, this is a part of me. This is a part of me. And I'm beautiful in God's eyes. And I want you to say that, that you're beautiful in God's eyes, that whatever it makes up you, that's who you are, and you're still beautiful in God's eyes. John 8:44, Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is talking about the enemy. He's talking about Satan. He's saying, don't listen to what the enemy is telling you to do or telling you to believe. We're to listen to our Heavenly Father. And the reason why we get caught in trouble is because we end up listening to the enemy. And the enemy is not only a liar, but Jesus said he's the father of lies. He is the head honcho of lying. We should never believe anything that he says, yet sadly, we often do. Why does Satan want to keep us hindered from knowing God's unconditional love for us and his powerful truth? Well, we got to think about what's the benefit to the enemy to bind us up in lies and deception and areas of bondage. What's the benefit to the enemy in that? Well, If he successfully keeps us bound in lies and deception and areas of bondage and not really engaging and believing God's unconditional love for us and defining ourselves through our circumstances or the words and treatment of others, then Satan knows we won't fully embrace the life that God has for us. And then we won't make the impact on our families and even on the world around us. And sometimes as we say the world around us, people, you know, think, oh, my goodness, well, you know, I can't go on missions trips. So I can look, the world around you is whatever is around you when you step out the front door. Making an impact in your community, an impact on a neighbor, an impact at the school that you may work at. But certainly, first and foremost, an impact on our families. The enemy knows that we won't make an impact on our families or in the world around us the way God designed if we allow him to keep us in bondage. We'll walk with doubt, we'll walk with fear, and all sorts of other insecurities in our day-to-day lives. And it will manifest itself. Sometimes it manifests by us overeating or by us isolating ourselves or by us overshopping or by us seeking love in the wrong places or going out and needing validation and approval from people when we've already got the validation and approval from God. Amen? So the enemy, the benefit to him is to keep us on lockdown so that we will not see ourselves the way God sees us. And that will hinder you from making the impact that God desires for you to make. And there are people who say, well, as long as God wants me to do whatever it is, he'll have me to do it, no matter what. But you know what? We got to cooperate with God, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what must happen for us to really begin to see ourselves through God's eyes? What's going to happen? What must happen to do that? Number one, we got to embrace God's word as absolute truth, not as a story. Not as something that just happened in biblical times, but as absolute truth. When we do that, then we're going to begin to see ourselves through God's eyes. We're going to have to study out the Word of God. Sometimes we just, you know, breeze through some scriptures, but we need to study out the Word of God, because when we do that, then we're able to really yield to the Holy Spirit, to his leading and his teaching, and then we're able to apply the Word of God. You know, so when I tell people to read the Word, I always say meditate on it, ingest it, take it in, study the Word. Not just, you know, sometimes it's okay to just read a scripture here and there, but we still need to be reading the meat of the Word, reading the Word in context. Use your study materials, your concordance, your Bible dictionary, other reference tools that are in line with the Word of God to help you in your studying, and pray and ask God, give me wisdom as I read your Word, Lord. Open my spiritual eyes. Open me up spiritually to hear from you, to discern what is God and what is not God when I'm out there in the world. Help me when I'm reading your Word to take it in and apply it in my life in a practical way. And then number two, these are ways that what must happen for us to really begin to see ourselves through God's eyes. Number two is not only pray for the Holy Spirit to help you to apply it in practical ways, but then do it. Do it every day. We've got to practice the Word of God every day. I often say whatever the area is of struggle for you, get in the Word of God in that area and practice it. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. Because that's how it becomes life to us. You know, number three, have our minds transformed. Well, we're familiar with Romans 12 and 2, which tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that, because it's not about our will or what somebody else wills for us. It's about God's good and pleasing and perfect will for our lives. But we won't even be able to test and approve what is God's will if we are not first conforming ourselves to what the Word says rather than what the world says. Amen? We need to conform to what the Word, W-O-R-D, says and not to what the world, W-O-R-L-D, says. We've got to have our minds transformed. And then I love 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, ladies. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Anybody got some strongholds? We all deal with some areas. Another word for strongholds is bondages. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. How am I going to know what's the knowledge of God? By meditating and studying and ingesting the word of God. That's how we learn of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we have several different weapons of warfare: prayer, praise, having a genuine thankful heart, worship. But the word of God is primary. We got to be in the word of God. That's the only way we're going to see ourselves through God's eyes. And what I love about 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 is, let me just give you a practical image of it. We need to really, when negative thoughts enter our mind, either because we're thinking something wrong about ourselves, or because somebody has said something wrong, or because we've, you know, ingested something, we've seen something on television, or, you know, just standing on the line at the checkout aisle, you got to guard your heart and mind against all the magazines. Just don't even look at them. But when thoughts start coming in your mind, you got to grab a hold of that thought and cast it down and make it subject to Christ. Well, Lisa, how does that look? Well, I'm going to tell you. It looks like this is one way that I am share with you how I handle things. When something comes in my mind that I know full well does not line up with the knowledge of God, because I'm a visual person and also a little bit animated, I will sometimes with both my hands literally grab at the air, you know, sort of snatch whatever it is and say, uh-uh, oh, no, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe what God says. And then I forcibly throw it down as if I'm casting it out of my hands. And so in a practical way, whatever that looks like for you, you got to grab those thoughts that are negative by replacing them with thoughts that align with God's word. So the next time you say, oh, God, I'm so fat, I am never going to lose this weight, you got to lock down your tongue on that and say, wait a minute. Okay, you know what? I gotta do something to get a handle on this weight, but I'm still beautiful in God's eyes. He still loves me. And as a result, I'm going to love me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Or the next time the enemy tries to remind you of something you did way back when that you've already repented for, God's already forgiven you for that, but the enemy keeps trying to bring it up. You got to grab a hold of that thought and cast it down by saying, wait a minute, I repented for that. God forgave me as far as east is from west, and I'm not going to allow this to continue to keep coming up and coming up and coming up in my mind. And every time you want to bring it up, enemy, I'm going to shoot you back with the word of God and remind you that I belong to God. I'm his. At home, I want you to meditate on Isaiah 43 in your private time and really meditate on verses 1 through 4. I love it because God says that he loves us, that we're precious in his sight, that he summoned us by name, that we're his. We're his. Such a powerful scripture. The enemy really wants to imprison us through our thoughts, and if he's successful, then we may be free in Christ in terms of being saved and on our way to heaven because we've repented of our sins and confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But if we're trapped in our mind, we can be on our way to heaven but live totally depleted and defeated here on earth. We can be Christians serving in church and singing and clapping and praising God and getting online and sharing all kinds of posts on social media and all of the different ministries and things that we're involved in and still live depleted and defeated here on earth. And that is not God's will for us. But unless we really embrace the truth of his word, that you were indeed born with divine purpose, unless we grab that, unless we grab the truth of his word, that he unconditionally loves us, that agape love, unless we grab 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 4 and 5 and really use it and apply it, then you could live defeated and depleted. I know, because that was me. Saved at 12, grew up in church, and lived defeated and depleted all the way up until my upper 20s. Until I got with God and really said, Lord, I am so tired of this whole Christian thing. There's got to be something more than this. something more than I'm reading the Bible, I'm going to church, I'm trying to do this right, I'm trying to do that right. You know, I'd hear all kinds of things. If you're not tithing, then this is not going right in your life. And I was tithing, and I believe in giving. I still believe in that. But I'm saying that I was caught up in a lot of the religious way of thinking. You know, oh, well, it's because you're not getting out of bed and praying for 1 hour exactly at 4 a.m. in the morning. All of those things were clouding my mind. And I'm saying, God, there's got to be something more to this than more to the Christian faith. And God said, you're missing me. You're missing me. And that's when he began to minister to my heart and begin to bring healing from my past and different things that I was struggling with. He'll do the same for you. Sometimes we get so caught up in the doings of church and the church world that we forget to just rest at the feet of Jesus and let the Lord minister to our heart. That's where change really comes from. Then we're able to serve more effectively and really make the impact that God would have us to have. Now, earlier I said to you that we have a responsibility in cooperating with God. Well, we'll see that in Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What that scripture says to me, Paul is saying to us, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So the Lord already set you free so that you can be free. Amen? But then we've got to stand firm and not let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And we all go through those, what I call again. You know, that stuff that keeps coming around, like going around the mulberry bush again and again. You think you're free from something, and here it comes again, again and again. You think your attitude is going to be right this time, but here we go again. You think you're not going to say that kind of word anymore, and here it comes again. You think you're not going to get offended anymore, but here it comes again. You think you're really going to walk with patience and love, and here it goes again. Here it comes again. Those again. Those yokes of slavery, or another word for that would be those areas of bondage, those strongholds, those things that you think you're free from, and here it comes again and again. That's why God's truth is so important, and grabbing it and living it, applying it to our lives, and having accountability in that and being responsible. You know, there are, over the years of me ministering to women, so often they'll, you know, especially Christian women, they'll say, you know, well, I'm just waiting for God to take this from me, or I'm just waiting for God to change me. I'm just waiting for God to do. And I say faith without works is dead, because that's what the word says. So, yes, we should pray and meditate on the word and apply it. Yes, we should ask God to help us, because we can't do it apart from him, right? But we've got to also do something. So if I'm praying and I'm asking God, Lord, help me to write this book. Help me to get this book done, Lord. If I never get my fingers on the keys of the computer to start typing it, then it's not going to get done. I could pray for the next 80 years. So yes, we should pray and meditate on the word, but we also got to cooperate with God, and that includes walking in our freedom that Christ has so graciously supplied to us. So I want to ask you a question I asked on my Facebook page. What are three things that you're willing to do differently to cooperate with God so that you can begin to see yourself through his eyes? What are three things that you're saying, wow, you know, I'd like for this to be different in my life right now? Write those three things down in your private time and get with God on that. And then hook your faith with his word and take a step. Take a step and do what God has called you to do. Now, I'm just going to put this out here because I just said the words take a step, and I just felt this in my spirit that I should just go ahead and share. I've been working on my second book, and the title of that book is Next Step Courage. You're hearing it here first, ladies. Pray for me because I'm in the throes of writing that now. But God wants us, and I'm writing it from Joshua, from the book of Joshua, but God wants us to take that next step. He's already laid out before you everything he has for you. He's saying, hook your faith with me. Only be strong and courageous, like he told Joshua, and step your foot. Take that next step. Link your faith with God's word, and let's get busy doing whatever it is that we need to be doing. But first we need to get ourselves whole in his presence so that he can use us to do what he wants us to accomplish. And then it's important to have not just head knowledge, but we need head and heart knowledge of God. Sometimes I hear people go against one of those as Christians. They'll say, well, no, you just need to know him in your heart. or no, you need to know them in your head. And I believe we need head and heart knowledge. And there's a difference. You know, as I said earlier, I grew up in church. I grew up serving. You know, I grew up in the things of God, and I had a head knowledge of God, but I needed to link my head and my heart together to really be able to see God as more than some far-off entity. I needed to know him up close and personal. And because I was wounded from my childhood, I didn't know that I could know God up close and personal like that. I didn't know I could feel safe in his presence till he brought me to Psalms 27 and 10. And I realized that when you're forsaken by your mother and your father, God will take you in. He'll take you in. So if you're feeling forsaken in your life, let God take you in. Let God be your God and your Father. It's important for us to abide in God. When we abide in him, have fellowship with him, and live in him and through him, the Bible says it is in you that we live and move and have our being. When we abide in God, that's when we really will see ourselves through his eyes. In my life, abiding in God means that it's like a shield, a safety net around me, where when the enemy throws darts at me or shoots arrows at me to take me out spiritually, there's that shield of abiding fellowship with God that's so wrapped around me that the enemy can't take me out. Same is true of you, but we've got to work that relationship. Jesus said in John 15 and 4, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. We got to live in Christ. We've got to live in him. We've got to have deep relationship with him. I love in John 13, verse 23, I'm going to read it to you. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved, whom he esteemed and delighted in, was reclining next to him on Jesus' bosom. And what I love about that is, and we know that in that scripture that they're obviously talking about John and his relationship with Jesus, but what I love about that is that John had such a relationship with Jesus that he would incline next to him and rest on Jesus' bosom. That is reflective of or symbolic of a deep relationship, a deeper level of fellowship. And that's what we got to seek with the Lord, is that kind of abiding in him, where we're having more than a Sunday service experience with God, where more than a midweek service, more than a few postings on social media, more than coming together for Bible study. All those things are great and all those things we should do. However, on our own, individually, we've got to have an abiding walk with God, where if I'm in the shower, I could talk to him. In the car, I could talk to him. Online in the grocery store, I could talk to him. If I'm folding clothes, I could talk to him. Whatever it is, I can spend time with him and rest on his bosom. If you're carrying around the bondage and wounds of maybe low self-worth or loneliness, guilt, shame, condemnation, negative thoughts about yourself, insecurities, any insecurities that are hindering you, maybe it's unresolved past pain or which we're going to dive into when we do the chapter on past pain, or even present struggles that you may be dealing with. If we're trapped in those things, then we're not going to see ourselves as the valuable people that we are in God's eyes. You got to see your value in God. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus. Because you accepted the blood of Jesus, you confessed your sins, you repented of your sins, and you asked Jesus to become Lord of your life and Savior of your life. You acknowledge what he did on the cross for you. You acknowledge that. So you're a child of God, but now you got to learn your value in God. I ministered to a woman who earlier in the year who heard something that I said on the Do You Want to Be Whole one of my radio programs. It was titled, Do You Want to Be Whole? And she reached out to me, and she's a pastor's wife, and I have permission to share this, by the way. But she shared with me how all these years, I think it was, if I remember correctly, 18 years, 18 and a half years that she's been a pastor's wife, involved in all aspects of ministry. And she said to me in her email, Lisa, I didn't realize that I really wasn't whole and that I really was not seeing myself valued through God's eyes. I was more seeing my value through what people said or didn't say to me. And it's so important for us to learn our value, because our value is in God. We don't need the approval of people. I was addicted to approval, addicted to people pleasing in my early days. We don't need the approval of people. Oh, yes, it's nice to have someone say, oh, good job, or well done, wonderful. But you have the approval of God. You are already validated in Him. Stop searching for validation in people or in things, in objects, in jewelry, in shoes, in pocketbooks, in shopping, in eating, in overeating, in eating the wrong things, or in getting together with friends and needing them to pat you on the back and tell you how awesome you are. You're already validated, precious soul. You're already validated in God. You know, one of the things that I learned, had to learn about God, was that I could let my defenses down with God. I could just be Lisa. I didn't have to worry about what I said or how I said it, and neither do you. We can come to God with our hearts wide open. I talk about that in the first chapter of the book. We can come to Him and just ask Him, God, show me myself. Show me Lisa. Right now I want you to say that, and you put your name in there, and just say, show me myself. Show me Lisa. God will show you. He loves a humble heart, a heart that will rely on Him and cling to Him, a heart that acknowledges Him and say, God, show me what I need to see about me so that I can really begin to see myself the way you see me, so that I can really begin to value myself the way you value me. You know, I want to pause here and say this to you. If you'd like, I have a handout that I would love to email to you. You'd have to reach out to me for it. But it is a list, three columns long, of ways that God sees us. I'll read a few of them to you. He sees you as valued, extremely valued, my masterpiece, fruitful, unique, restored, strong and courageous, confident in Christ, an apple of His eye. If you want the full listing, reach out to me, and I'd love to email that to you with scripture references attached to it to help bless you in really beginning to see yourself through God's eyes and get beyond just where you are right now. I mean, it's awesome if you already see yourself through God's eyes, but we all need encouragement because the battle is on all the time. Amen? Now, if you're doing the study, you will see a section in the first chapter on beautiful, and it gives you the meaning of beautiful, and I'm going to give it to you now. It says, beautiful knows the value of oneself through God's eyes. Beautiful knows the value of oneself through God's eyes. That's simplistic, but it's powerful. And I gave you in the companion study guide a list of names of women and chapters and verses in the Word of God for you to study out on your own. There are many women in the Bible who may not have felt beautiful or been treated as beautiful by the world standards, yet God chose to list them within the pages of His holy word. And I gave you a list of those women, Leah and Hannah, Tamar, David's daughter, the woman with the issue of blood, the sinful woman, Mary Magdalene, the woman with an infirmity. I listed some of those out for you to study on your own. For those of you who may not know those chapter and verses, let me just say them for you now. Study Leah in Genesis 29, verses 16 through 35. Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Tamar, specifically David's daughter, because there's three Tamars in the word. 2 Samuel chapter 13. The woman with the issue of blood, I read it from Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. The sinful woman, Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. John chapter 20, verse 1, 2, and 11 through 18. And then the woman with an infirmity. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Beautiful is so much more than a skin-deep description. It has absolutely nothing to do with your age, your culture, your class, your body size, your facial features, your hair color, whether you got fake hair, real hair, long hair, short hair, brown hair, blonde hair, red hair, blue hair, black hair. It doesn't matter. In God's eyes, beautiful is so much deeper than that, so much deeper than that. And I often shy away from people who promote beautiful on a biblical level as our features, because it really, all it does is just further perpetrate what the world is saying to us. Beautiful is deeper than skin deep. It's deeper than that in God's eyes. Not that we shouldn't take care of our outer bodies, because we should. But every single one of us looks different. God created us differently. I got dark brown eyes. You may have blue eyes or black eyes or brown eyes or gray eyes. Or I know a woman who has green eyes, and I thought they were contact lenses, but they were her. They were beautiful, all right? But all color eyes are beautiful in God's eyes, amen? So we got to be careful sometimes even saying to somebody that, you know, oh, you look beautiful now that you've lost weight, or wow, you look great now that you changed your hair color. You know, we got to be careful of the things that we say, and I'm laughing, but it's really not funny. The truth of the matter is we have to be careful. You know, we can. It's one of those open mouth insert flips. We can sometimes hurt ourselves and hurt each other. You know, that's why I'm so strong and passionate about women affirming each other in the faith, because when we affirm each other as women, ladies, then we make better wives, better singles, better mothers, better teachers, better preachers, better students, better everything. When we have each other's back, then we're able to go out and be better in what God has called us to be. Now, I want you in your private time to study out those women, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you see yourself in any of those women? When you study this on your own, do you see yourself in any of those women, perhaps in the past or maybe in some present circumstances that you're dealing with? And then ask yourself, why do you think that God put these women in the Word? You know, one of the things that I believe is that God put these women in the Word for us to relate to, for us to glean from. Maybe our walks are not exactly the same as theirs, but we can certainly glean from some of their walk and what they've gone through and some of the emotions they probably felt and some of the things that they may have thought in their mind as they went through those things. So God puts those women in there for us to relate to. And also, what I love about God is the world might say, hey, why do we want to know about a woman who had sex was sexually immoral? Or why do we want to talk about a woman who was bent over and crippled by spirit for 18 years? The world might say, you know, what do we care about a woman who is demon-possessed? What do we care about a woman who was raped by her half-brother and all that she endured? What do we care about Leah, who had weak and dull eyes and whose husband loved her sister more? What do we care about these women? The world might say that. But God chose to put those women in his holy word so that we could glean from those women, so that we can not only know that he loved them, but that he loves us. That ought to make you smile. Because no matter what you've gone through, ladies, no matter what your experience might have been from the past, no matter what was done to you or what you might have engaged in, now and even then, you're beautiful in God's eyes. You were beautiful in his eyes from before the womb, before your mother carried you in her womb. God loved you and thought of you as beautiful in his eyes. And right on through all the struggles and all the pain and all the hardship and all the trials and tribulations, he was still right there. Even the times that we didn't call on him, even the times that we may not have leaned on him, the times that we might have been carnal or not saved yet, still God was right there waiting and saying, I love you and I need you to know it. I need you to know that you're mine. I need you to know that you're precious in my sight. I need you to know that you're more than how you look and how you sound and what you do and how you do it. You're more than that. You're mine. I love you. That's why last year, December or November, when the Lord had me change my blog title name to You Are His, it's because that is what he has been ministering to my heart for so long, that you're mine. You belong to me. At least I need you to tell my daughters and even those that don't know me yet, through the pardon of their sin, through Jesus Christ. I want them to know that I love them and that they're beautiful in my eyes. It's so important for us to know biblical truth so that we can believe what God says. So the enemy will say, you're not significant. So the enemy and the world sometimes will say, you're not significant, you're not worthy, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're never going to change, your situation's never going to change, you're always going to be afraid and anxious and worried. You know, the enemy says you're insecure, you're inadequate, you don't measure up to all the other people out there, and you know, and that's dangerous. That's dangerous for us to believe that, because the enemy would have us to compare ourselves one to another. When women reach out to me and say, oh, Lisa, I'm just so jealous of how God uses you, or Lisa, I wish I could be used. I stop them quickly and tell them, don't you feed into that, because God uses all of us who avail ourselves to him. I'm no better and no special than anybody else. That's why I can't stand the phrases well-known and popular. What does that mean? We are all known to God. He loves us. So whatever you're doing in God, celebrate that. Walk humbly in it and acknowledge God in what you're doing and confess your need for him, because you can't do it without him. And the same goes for me. We should celebrate each other and encourage each other and affirm each other, but we should never compare ourselves to each other or be jealous of each other or envious. And sometimes women say, oh, I was just kidding when I said that, but what's in us comes out of us. So we got to be careful. We should encourage each other. And there's nothing wrong with gleaning from each other. There are specific people that I glean from that God uses to bless my life. Nothing wrong with that. You have certain people that God uses in your life. But you know what? God uses you too. He uses you too to bless other people. So celebrate how God uses your life and celebrate how he's using the lives of other men and women of God. But always, always remember, don't let the enemy tell you you're inadequate or that you don't measure up to somebody else. He'll try to remind you of your past. He'll try to always tell you that what you're dealing with is never going to change. He's going to keep bringing up old problems, old wounds, old sin, old pain, old hindrances to remind you over and over and over again. He's going to make you question sometimes, why am I even here? What am I doing? What's my purpose in God? The enemy brings discouragement and depression and shame and guilt and condemnation. That's what he does. And you know what? He does his job too well. But we got to remember, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, my goodness, that ought to make us excited. We belong to Jesus, ladies. And so when the enemy starts saying all that nonsense stuff, we need to turn around and say, wait a minute, I'm more than a conqueror, and I'm an overcomer, and all things work together for my good because I love God, and I've been called according to his purpose. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm compassionate. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not just sitting fat on what God has given me, but I'm determined to give it out, to pour it out on other people. When the enemy sows negative words, we got to come back at him and say, wait a minute, I'm kind and I'm loving because Jesus is alive in me. I'm significant in giving. Why? Because Jesus is alive in me. I'm beautiful. Why? Because I'm beautiful in God's eyes. I'm sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. We got to come back at those negative thoughts and not allow those thoughts to reign and be supreme in our brains. I often say that we have the option. Our mind can be a campground for the enemy, or our mind can be a holy campground, a place where the Word of God dwells, a place where the Spirit of God dwells, a place where we are soaking in the daily bread of God instead of soaking in all of the world. You know, people sometimes get upset with me, and I'm sure that some of you, especially my online sisters, you might experience this as well. Sometimes people get upset with me because I don't connect myself to everything. I can't like every page on Facebook. I can't follow every blog. I can't get involved in every ministry. I can't do all the things that people ask me to do. Number one, it's just humanly impossible. But number two, we got to be careful about what we connect ourselves to and who we connect ourselves to. It doesn't mean that their ministry might not be good or that their page might not be good or what they're doing might not be good and might not be godly. It doesn't mean any of that. It might be awesome what they're doing, and it might very well be what they're doing in the Lord. But you and I have to do and connect ourselves with what God tells us to do and what God tells us to connect ourselves with. And, you know, sometimes people don't understand that. Be patient with them. Love them anyway. You know, don't get upset with them because, as I said earlier, we're all on different levels spiritually. So sometimes people take it personally if you're not able to do something. I always tell people, no pressure, no worries, no pressure. If I ask you to do something or to connect with me in a way and you don't feel led to do it, I'm cool with that. No pressure. Long as you're doing what God told you to do and I'm doing what God told me to do. I love Acts 5 and 29. You can read that in your time, but because I want you to really read the whole chapter and read it in context. But I love it because Peter makes it clear that I must obey God and not man. I must obey God and not man. Ladies, for us to really see ourselves through God's eyes, we must obey God and not man. And what that means is when we say man generically, and now I'm not telling y'all not to listen to anybody, okay? But what it means is we must obey God's leading in our lives and not get caught up with doing what people want us to do instead of what God is telling us to do. I often say that a good idea is good, okay? A good idea can be a really good idea, but it's not as good as a God-ordained idea. I like good ideas, but I want God-ordained ideas for my life. I want to know that what I'm putting my time and my attention and my resources and my giftings to, that it's something that God is telling me to do. You know why? Because he gave me the giftings. He gave me the resources. He gives me the time. So I want to be sure that I'm linking myself up with him. If I'm linking myself up with him, and if you're linking yourself up with him, then you'll not that you're never going to get tired, because we get tired sometimes, but if you're burned out, exhausted, fatigued, over and done, check your plate out and see. Look at your plate, your spiritual plate and your natural plate, and see what's on here that I need to remove. Am I involved in too many things? Am I online too much? Am I involved in a lot of things offline in my private life? Am I spending too much time on TV or the radio? Am I with God enough? Am I getting enough time with my God? Examine your life, not in a legalistic way, but in a relational way. In other words, step back and ask God. Don't just examine your life for yourself, but ask God to show you, am I linking up with you? You know, am I missing you somewhere? And, you know, why am I so exhausted and overwhelmed? And God will show you. Well, ladies, we are coming to a close on chapter 1, What Does God Say About You? I pray you will study out all the scriptures, read the chapter in the book. There is something to do on page 3 in the book. I pray that those of you who decided to do the study notes, that you will go through and answer all those questions, read all those scriptures, meditate on them, ingest them, take them in, use your study materials along with the Word of God. And I want to challenge you, as the Holy Spirit always challenges me, approach the Word every time with freshness. Even if you're familiar with the scriptures, even if you've heard the message over and over again, we don't live the Word perfectly, so we need to hear the messages over and over again. We need to read the Word over and over again, even those scriptures which we're very familiar with. Amen? It's been my privilege to serve y'all today, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God would bless you and encourage you, that he would challenge you and comfort you, that every way that you think of yourself that does not line up with the knowledge of God right now, that there would be a change in your life, that you would make up your mind that I am not going to conform myself to what the world says. I'm going to conform myself to what the Word says, and I'm going to have my mind transformed in the Word. I pray that over you in the name of Jesus. I pray that you begin to look at yourself the way God looks at you, and that you dare to believe it, that you dare to believe it, not just for yourself, but so you can turn around and grab the hand of another woman, of another young lady, of another teenager, of your child, your son, your daughter, and teach them to see themselves through God's eyes as well. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. I love you. I'll see you back here next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time for Chapter 2, The World's View. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you.